It's good to see you this morning. Today in our Bible classes, we learned about the terrible thing of pride that causes us to divide the church and be separate from one another. We also saw, as Paul was describing to those Christians, how they could avoid this and what was the real marks of leadership in the church. Paul talked about this a lot. In the book of Acts, won't you turn there with me, please? The book of Acts, chapter 20, Paul is on his way back to Jerusalem. He has received word from the Lord. The Holy Spirit has told him, and prophets have told him, that this might be his last trip to Jerusalem, that trouble is going to be waiting him there. He uses the word affliction and oppression. And on his way back, he makes a point to talk to the elders from the church in Ephesus. And he does it in the city of Miletus. When he gets to Miletus, he sends over to Ephesus and calls them together. This is verse 17. He then says to them, "You yourself know how I lived among you all the time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials, which befell me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring anything to you that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks of the repentance to God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, bound in the Spirit, not knowing what shall befall me, except the Holy Spirit testified to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life as of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Well, that's quite a beginning to what's going to be a very memorable meeting with him and those elders. Paul loved this church at Ephesus. You can tell it when you read the letter. Paul believed that they were essential and a very vital part of the kingdom of God. He also knows that this particular church, he knows them well because he spent so much time with them. He also knows he won't see them again. Now, sometimes we think of people like Paul the Apostle. We think the apostle part. And, of course, it's hard for him to separate himself from that because that's who he is. Called by God, wrote more scripture than anybody else, started more congregations, baptized more people, or saw to it they were baptized, opened the doors of the kingdom in places where they had never known God before. But the fact is, he's also a man, a Christian man, and he knows that his life, the clock is ticking, and he knows that he won't be here much longer. And because of that, he calls these men in for one more conversation. I've told you about some of the times that I've been called to people's dying bed for our last conversation. It's always memorable. It's if they're Christians and our life has been good together, it's a wonderful time. But it's also a heartbreaking time. I remember talking to B.C. McCarley, who was, I think, the second preacher for this congregation. And I got to know him after he was an old man, and I really liked him. His wife, Eva, was part of the of the congregation here. BC was dying. I drove over there to where he lived over by Marble Falls and sat and talked to him. I remember him telling me goodbye. And I remember we wept a little bit, but not as much as his wife was in the other room. But he told me to be faithful, and he told me, I'll see you again. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that conversation for two gospel preachers have our last conversation together. Paul has called this group of men that he's probably baptized every one of them. At least he saw them as they were growing and as this church in Ephesus was becoming as important as it was. Paul would later would tell them in the letter that he wrote to them, when he talks about the church and the manifold wisdom of God, he was talking about that congregation and how that they were a witness to the world and to angels and principalities, the plan of God. This is not just a goodbye conversation. It's also a charge that he gives to them because he tells them what their job is. They already know, but he's reminding them. And when it's your last conversation with someone that you owe so much to, it makes a lot of difference. Look at what he tells them, verse 28 and following. Take heed to yourself and to all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you guardians, to feed the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish you, everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He reminds them of this before it's over with, before this conversation is over with. They're hugging each other and they're kissing each other and they're crying and falling on each other. And you know what they're doing. They're putting off what they're going to have to do. We're going to have to bring this to an end and we're going to have to go. But this is such an important moment in their life. It's important because it's God's work. It's important because it's there are definite dangers to the individuals. He calls Christians sheep here, and he calls these elders shepherds. Now, Jesus said he was the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Jesus tells us that sheep know who they're following. They know their shepherd. And in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus even talked about the problem with wolves that sometimes dress up like sheep. He said they are in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. It takes an expert to know a disguised wolf from a sheep. Sometimes the wolf is so good at his imitation of being a sheep that he forgets that he's really a wolf. And he says the lies so often he thinks he's doing it. And so he's doing the will of God. He thinks he's a sheep or he thinks he's a shepherd, but really he's a wolf. And when that happens, it's extremely dangerous because he actually thinks he's doing what he's doing for God. Because he thinks what he wants and what God wants are the same thing. And Paul's warning these guys about this. Now we don't have time today to look at how many safeguards God has put in our life. A few of them are mothers and daddies. We didn't just pop out of a log someplace, grown up, and make into sin. We have the bigger people and older people and hopefully spiritual people to keep pointing us in the right direction and keep teaching us. And if when that safeguard is gone, when the structure of the home is gone, so many people are lost. Maybe a whole culture is lost. Maybe a whole generation is lost. He also puts preachers in people's lives. And Paul says, remember when I was among you. Remember what I did. Now, Paul was also an apostle, but he comes in among them as the evangelist, as the guy who's speaking the word of God. Now, he had a big advantage over preachers today, since God was telling him exactly what he wanted him to say. But the job was there as a safeguard so that they would know this is the will of God. In our lessons on Sunday morning in Bible class, we're studying from the letter to the church at Corinth. And Paul will tell us in that letter more than once, this is the rule everywhere. This is what I always do. This is how I always do it. This is not open for discussion. It's not. You have a choice. You follow God with these words that I'm telling you, or you don't. But it's some things are very plain. That's what he said. While I was among you, I never held back the word of God. You know that. So the preachers, Paul would tell Timothy, the next generation of preacher, he would call him a man of God. Because he has this job to do, and it's a safeguard there. If your preacher knows God and loves God and knows God's word and shares it with you, you should thank God for that. Because this is an essential safeguard that we have. Because there's other people saying other stuff. But he doesn't stop with that. God also put leaders in congregations. He put elders and deacons, and he put them there as part of this safeguard. The deacons are there to serve God while they serve you. And as they do that, they stand ready to defend the truth and to stand up for the truth. In the years I've been in this congregation, I've noticed we have great elders. We have men that love God and follow God and want to serve Him and want you to serve Him. And we have great deacons who've done that very thing, who stood. I remember a couple of times when everything was on the table, when we could have gone one way or the other, and when there were families involved in it and personalities involved in it and everything, I will never forget our deacons. I will never forget that they stood completely beside and behind and with our elders, who, in my opinion, were standing with God. That safeguard is a necessary thing, and that's why he's telling these men, don't quit doing what you got to do. He's telling them that your job is to pay attention to what's going on. He's telling them that the job that they've been given is to feed the church and to watch the church or guard the church and to recognize that not everybody loves Christians. And not everybody wants you to succeed as a Christian. So sometime an elder or two come and talk to you about something you don't want to hear about. Even if you don't like the conversation, you should get on your knees and thank God that there's somebody that cares enough about you to approach you and to talk with you. Amen. And to warn you. This is the job that they have. I'm going to tell you the reason I've been in this congregation as long as I have is because of our elders. This, I, you know me. This church does not pay the most that's being paid the preachers. So why am I here? This church has elders who love God and love His word and love you, and love me. The fact that me and the elders argue a lot, that's fine. But we've never had an argument about what the Lord says. We've never had an argument about a thus saith the Lord. Never. Never. We should be on our knees thanking God that that safeguard is there. Does it mean that everyone's going to make it? No, because we make our own choices. Does it mean that we never make mistakes? Of course not. Mistakes are made. But the way God has given it, what has He given us? He's given us His Word so that every one of us, even most, there's things in the Bible that are hard to understand. You know that. There's things in the Bible that the more you study it, the longer your list of questions are going to be. And some of them, I'm going to promise you, you'll never have all the answers to. But the commandments of God are simple. They're written in short sentences with little words so that we won't misunderstand them. The promises of God are amazing. And you just, when you read it, you say, could this be true? And it is. God has given us His Word so that even if, as He said, among your own number, wolves rise up. Even if that happens, you don't have to be lost because you've got the Word. And you've got Jesus. And you've got the Holy Spirit. And you have maybe a preacher or maybe somebody else that can help you with this. But it's so much better and so much more successful. Just like sometimes families survive even when they don't have a mother and a father. Sometimes children grow up in the worst kind of situation and they still make it. It's possible, and God is not willing that any should perish. But it's easier and we have a better opportunity when all of those defenses are in there. So He tells this group of elders, take heed to yourself. Pay attention to your own life. Pay attention to the job that you have. Recognize that this is not an easy job. Recognize that there are problems and troubles. Recognize, and what does He tell the rest of us to do? We should support these men and help these men and pray for these men and submit to these men. Because this job is a very big job. And the wolves are out there. Persecution is not the worst thing that can happen or the most successful method that Satan uses. He uses pride a lot. And he uses selfishness a lot. And he uses, well, just look at the seven deadly sins, and that's what he uses. And when he uses those, he's usually more successful at the terrible job that he has. And what keeps us from falling to this? Well, we have the Word of God. Paul said, remember, all the time I was with you, what did I give you? What did you have? You had God's Word. And what else do you have? You have God's men standing there and loving you and helping you. What a glorious thing. Oh, how God loves us. He didn't miss a bit. If you need to come to God, this is the time. Won't you come while we stand in?